And I'd like to turn your attention to Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. And verse 29, I'd like to keep the screen down this morning, please. Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all of the words of this law." Amen. How many can keep a secret? There are some things that you don't need to keep a secret. There are some things that have been revealed to the church of the living God that God doesn't want you to keep it under wraps. He wants us to tell the rest of the world. And then if you go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, starting in verse number 13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight." He sees it all, folks. "But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens," who? Jesus, "the Son of God," or the flesh of God, "let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Anybody need any help? Amen. I think this is some of the most comforting scriptures in the entire Bible. Amen. Yesterday I talked to a man here and been praying for some things to happen in his life, and he had some financial difficulties, and I asked him, "How are things going?" He said, "Well, I'm still trusting God." And this morning I met him on the parking lot, and he said, "I went home. In the mail, there was a card from a relative with a scripture with a check for $2,500. He said it didn't completely, you know, take care of all of needs. But here's the deal. God was telling me, "I know. I know what your situation is. I know." God told a young lady this morning as we were worshiping that he can take care of every situation in her life. Right. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing upon the word of God this morning. God, you are the one who is touched by the feelings of our inadequacies, our problems, our weakness. Amen. And you said, you've given us an invitation to boldly come before the throne of grace. Amen. In time of need. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," a description that emphasizes his superiority to the high priests that were of the Mosaic covenant. "Since none of them could be considered great high priests," what is amazing is that the high priests of the covenant were untouchable. They ministered instead of people before God, but people could not be ministered to by the high priest. They ministered in the place of the common man. But here we have a superior high priest that not only is touched by our feelings of weakness, but he invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace to have an intimate relationship with the great high priest. He wants to somehow touch us and touch our situation to find grace and help in the time of need. Amen. The disciples were worried in John, the 14th chapter, "You know, where you go, Jesus, we can't come." And he said, "Don't worry, I will not leave you comfortless, for I will come unto you." Amen. An open invitation to have God, the God of heaven, not only extend empathy in our dilemmas, but also ask us to come to him for help. Amen. Have you ever heard that saying, when someone fails or someone is let down, well, after all, they're only human, you know? Indicating because they are human, it's not surprising that they failed. Well, I'd like to turn that around this morning and say, the reason I can have victory is, after all, my God is human. Amen. A God who was in all points tempted like we as, but without sin. That means that he has felt every temptation, every situation that you have ever felt. When someone walks away, when someone disappoints you, God's felt it. He knows what it feels like. Amen. No one could have greater empathy for our situation. After all, my God is human. Amen. Had he not taken on the humanity of man, we could say, well, you know, you're up in heaven, you have everything, you're surrounded by glory. But no, my God is human. You see, the religious world wants to keep God as only deity, a God who is far off, not concerned with our everyday problems, a God that can't be touched, and certainly who will never touch you. He's off there someplace, and hopefully our prayers will get to him. But I am here to tell you, Jesus is touched by our feelings of weakness. He's touched by our emotion. He's touched by the worship this morning. He's touched by our pain and our sorrows and our inadequacies and our faults and our problems. And my Jesus desperately wants to touch us. Touch us in every area of our worship, our prayer, our problems. In the middle of the night, he's there to lay hands on us. Amen. We have sung this song over and over years ago. Let me feel your spirit one more time. Reassure me, Lord, that I am thine. I don't want to go to a church where I can't physically feel the touch of our God, because that's the high for our God. Amen. It's not the cosmos. It's not heaven. It's not streets of gold. His excitement comes when he can touch his creation, you see. Not a God that is off, or a God that is self-centered like people, but a loving and compassionate God. And I'm glad that God is human after all. Amen. He's not just, well, the offspring of God. He is God. Amen. God didn't come to observe us from about 10,000 feet to see if we're keeping all of the rules. Now, if you keep the rules, I'll take care of you. He couldn't wait to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He couldn't wait. He physically manifested himself to Adam and Eve in what's called a theophany. He took on a physical form, a fleshly form, to be with them and communicate with them. And I have no doubt that that physical form looked exactly like the physical form that walked the shores of Galilee. He couldn't wait to talk to Abraham face to face. In a theophany, God appeared to him and had discussion, and there was even some bartering going on. God couldn't wait to have a wrestling match with Jacob. Amen. He said, I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. God couldn't wait to show himself strong to David in the battle against Goliath, the giant. Oh, I can't wait to be with my servant. I can't wait to demonstrate how great I am. My God couldn't wait to be held in the arms of his mother, Mary, at the manger. He felt it. Oh, and he couldn't wait to handle and handpick his 12 apostles. I believe it was hard for my God to wait for 10 days. In an upper room, he couldn't wait before he came to them, the Comforter, and reside in them. 120, filled with the Holy Ghost. It was his whole purpose. And then he couldn't hardly wait to touch you and fill you with his Spirit. It is the whole purpose for the first word spoken in creation, that one day he could have a place, a residency to live in, the Spirit of God within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that same excitement is in God this morning to touch every one of us. He can't wait. He can't wait for the altar call. That's why there are people who are healed in the middle of the sermon. That's why there are people who make their way to the altar, because God can't wait to touch you. After all, it is only human to want to touch the people you love. It's only human. And when God spake the first word of creation, it was all just the prelude to being able to touch you. Oh, yes, the floods clap their hands and the hills rejoice every day, but my God wanted to get his hands on me. Right. And I remember that day. Right. I remember I was in the middle of the congregation over 40 years ago, and there was something within me that says, you better get up to that altar because God can't wait Amen. To touch you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, how long is this service going to go? God can wait. I'm sure he's waited through some pretty boring sermons of mine because he knew he was going to be able to touch somebody at the altar call. Oh, the heavens of heavens are beyond finding out, but God became human so he could touch him and he could be touched by us. He put on a man suit that we could put on a God suit.
Amen.
Amen. The secret things of God.
Amen.
Most people don't understand
right.
who the God of heaven really is.
Amen.
Would you turn to Hebrews, the 7th chapter? Hebrews 7 and 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God.
Amen.
See, in the Old Testament, we couldn't draw close to God, but there was a better plan.
Amen.
God always had a better plan.
Yes, he does.
To be able to have an intimacy with mankind. He never ordained religion. He ordained relationships. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him, and said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Amen.
For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sin, and then for the people, for this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmities, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forever, evermore. And then if you turn to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2, starting in verse number 5, familiar scriptures to most of us. Paul says to the church at Philippi, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man." God was made in the likeness of man. "And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Supreme authority to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. It seems incomprehensible that the God of heaven, it just doesn't make any sense to us, the creator of heaven and earth, that all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, self-existent one would humble himself and put on the flesh of man. But that's because he loved us. See, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And there has to be a perfect lamb that was slain, and yet there was no perfect man because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, the only solution for man's sin was God took on flesh, that he could bleed, and by his blood we could be cleansed. But even beyond that, to submit himself to the worst kind of death, the cross, all at the hands of those he loved, and all for what purpose? The prize was in heaven. He already had heaven. The prize wasn't power and authority. All power was given to him in heaven and earth. No, the prize was you and me. Amen. The whole purpose was that he could have a relationship. Amen. Not like it was in the Old Testament where the people stood and the priest did everything while the people watched. Thank God that every one of us become the high priest and we can minister directly to God and minister to each other. You see, the veil between the holy place and the holiest of holies was ripped in two when Jesus said it was finished, signifying that we could get into the presence or the holiest of holies because now we become the high priest. And more than just a high priest, we become the great high priest.
Amen.
Amen. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the supreme authority. No one is higher than Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. When, you know, have you ever had any difficulty with somebody, whether it's a retailer or whatever, and you say, "Hey, listen, could I have your manager, please?" Going over your head. And when the doctor comes with a diagnosis and said, "Well, here, well, there's a tumor. Well, thank you, but I'm going to go over your head." I want to see Jesus about this.
Amen.
You see, because he is the supreme authority.
Amen.
Do you know what you're talking about? Yes, I do.
Amen.
I do. Because every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. You know what? The atheist will confess. Every other religion one day will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord,
Amen.
Supreme, above all.
Amen.
Would you turn to Colossians, the first chapter, please? Colossians chapter 1 and starting in verse number 14. Paul is saying to the church at Colossae, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. So the only image you'll ever see of God is the image of Jesus, the firstborn of every creature, and by him. Who? Jesus. Were all things created? Wait a minute. I didn't think he came on the scene until Bethlehem. No, no, he was there. His flesh didn't come until he was the begotten son or begotten flesh. There was a beginning to the flesh, but there was no beginning to Jesus, you see. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist or are held together. Your next breath is all about what Jesus says. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence or is first in rank.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. We're the prize. And he's our prize. Oh, the great price that was paid to redeem his creation from sin. We can't comprehend all of the wealth of heaven and earth, yet not sufficient in order to pay or buy us back from the sin that was committed. Hebrews 9 and 22 says, without shedding of blood is no remission. Jesus' blood was the legal liquid to buy us back. Without that blood applied to us, one day we'll answer for our sins. But wouldn't it be better to have your sins blotted out?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says when we're baptized in Jesus' name, not only has our sins been remitted, washed away, but the Bible says in several scriptures that God doesn't even remember our sins. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. This has always amazed me. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 10. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. Can you imagine what it's saying here? Is the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets of the Old Testament.
Amen.
Wait a minute. What's the Spirit of Christ doing way back in the Old Testament?
Amen.
Hallelujah. When it signified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, they were going through the motion. They were doing those things that God told them to do by the Spirit of Christ that was in them. But unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, the angels are kind of jealous because we have greater rewards to us because we live by faith and not by sight.
Right.
Oh, if we could just love him as much as he loves us, you see. Not to lay our lives down by blood, but our lives living for him.
Amen.
Amen. Philippians, the third chapter. Do you know what successful preaching is? Successful preaching is using as much of God's word as you possibly can. Not opinions. Philippians 3 and 7 says, but what things were gained to me, this is Paul saying, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Wait a minute. Fellowship of his suffering? Being made conformable unto his death. You know, some of the closest relationships I've had is people who have been going through the same thing that I've gone through. There are people who have lifelong relationships with people who have been in the service with them under fire, lives in jeopardy. It brings them close. And God's saying, I was tempted in all points just as you, yet without sin. I've been there. It's caused us to be closer. 700 years before Bethlehem, God was giving signals to the Old Testament prophets that he would come and take on the form of humanity. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name, didn't give the name, couldn't give the name until he showed up in humanity. And his name shall be called, what? Wonderful Counselor. This child, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Wait a minute. Jesus is the Everlasting Father?
Amen.
He's the Almighty God?
Amen.
Aren't you glad for secrets? Jesus couldn't wait to let his creation know he was coming to redeem fallen man. Twice in Scripture, Jesus in the Old Testament had an encounter with men that asked God, what's your name? You know why Peter got the keys to the kingdom? Because Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And everybody else was kind of, well, I don't know, you know. You're Christ, the flesh of the living God. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on Peter's revelation. And here are the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. One of those men... when God wrestled with Jacob before he came back to claim his inheritance, we find that Jacob says, now, could you tell me your name? Would you quickly turn to Genesis, the 32nd chapter? How many love the Word of God?
Amen.
Genesis 32, and starting in verse 29. So Jacob is in trouble. His brother's coming with 400 men to kill him. He sends his family across the river Jabbok. And in verse 29, it says, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. A theophany, God in flesh. There were several times where God allowed himself to take on the form of man in order to touch. Hallelujah. I remember wrestling on the living room floor with my son when he was little. I remember wrestling on the floor with my grandson when he was little. You know why? Because there's so much pleasure in touching those people who you love.
Amen.
Amen. My mother used to have this thing. She'd grab me and say, I'm going to hold you for 18 hours. And when you're, you know, 4 or 5 years old, nothing could be worse to be held 18 hours by someone. But now it's, okay, God, hold on and don't let go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The second time was when God came to Manoah to announce the birth of Samson. And would you turn to Judges, the 13th chapter, and verse 17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? This isn't just an angel. This is God manifest in flesh, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? The greatest secret on the face of the earth is I know the name of God.
Right.
Amen. I have a problem. There are people who don't understand how important the name of Jesus is. They'll pray in the name of Jesus. They're asked for healings in the name of Jesus. But Colossians 3 and 17 says, everything we do in word or deed, all should be done in the name of Jesus. Why? Because that's where the authority is. If you're going to be baptized, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Because now we know the secret. I know his name. Although the Old Testament God gave pieces to the puzzle as who he was at his coming, the scriptures tell us that the Spirit of Christ was in the Old Testament prophets. And all those years of inquiring, and yet the secret was kept until the humanity of God was finally revealed. My God was anxious to be seen of men. And yet when he revealed himself, man still didn't know he was God.
Right.
It's amazing. How can you keep going to church and not knowing who God is?
Right.
Amen. It's like saying, you know what, I've been married now for almost 51 years, but what is your name again? Cute, but you know, I'll just keep showing up with the check. You know, no. My God's looking for some romance.
Amen. Amen.
He's not looking for frozen bodies on a pew.
Amen.
That go through the motion and never have the intimacy that they need to have with God, because that is the whole purpose.
Amen.
For the first word of creation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they didn't know. Miracle after miracle, teaching after teaching, and they're still trying to figure out, when's God coming?
Right,
when's God? Can you at least tell us when God's coming?
Come on.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not God. I would have been so frustrated, I'd just get a ladder and go right back to heaven again. Turn to John, the 8th chapter, please. Now remember, in Exodus 3 and 14, when Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" God, oh, he so wanted to say, "Just tell him it's Jesus," but he couldn't.
Right.
So he said, "Tell him that I am sent you." And so from that point on, the Jews knew that we referred to God as the great I am.
Amen.
So then when Jesus shows up, he has some problems with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And starting in verse 53, they're saying, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" And Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you." That isn't going to work well for Sunday morning. You know, you people are a bunch of liars. You have no clue as to who God is. "But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Wait a minute. "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus, you're 33 years old, and you're saying that Abraham saw you. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." They knew exactly who he was saying he was, that he was the God of the Old Testament.
Amen.
Well, why would they take up stones to cast at him? But that's what it says.
Right.
Blasphemy! Some people don't understand what we believe, folks. But if you want to know the secret, God will reveal it to you.
Amen.
All those thousands of years of anticipation of coming in the flesh to reveal his name and redeem his creation, and still he was not recognized as the Savior. Perhaps you could understand when God was invisible, you know? But now he could be touched and he would touch man.
Amen.
Amen. If you turn to John, the 14th chapter. You know, I saw a t-shirt on Friday. I was in a restaurant and a guy walked by me and the t-shirt said, "Stupid is not a crime." I don't know. I don't know. When you keep reading the scriptures, and would God come to earth and allow himself by the people he created to be put on the cross and then not make it very clear as to who he is?
Amen.
Amen. So John, the 14th chapter, verse number 8, Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." We're still a little confused here. And Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And now how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" I mean, really, can it get any plainer than that?
Amen.
Yes, he was the Father in creation, but he was the Son in redemption and the Holy Ghost in regeneration.
Amen.
Amen. He's not three branches of the government, folks.
Amen. Go on.
Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So when someone walks through the back door and they're the first time in a Pentecostal church and we sees all this radical worship and getting all excited, we have a revelation, folks. We know who Jesus is. But in their mind, they're saying, is this the one? Or do we look for another? Well, it's the same words that Jesus says. When you see me, when you see the body of Christ, you see me. When you hear the preaching of God's word, that's me. But if you don't believe me because of the people sitting on the pews and the preacher who's preaching from the pulpit, you ought to believe for the very work's sake. For these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Right. They follow them that believe. Well, God doesn't do that anymore. Maybe your God doesn't. But my God says, greater works than these shall you see. Hallelujah. Things haven't changed much even after the coming of God's humanity. There are still millions and millions and millions who don't know who Jesus is, even in Christianity. Today, they still see the humanity of Christ in the body of Christ. Amen. How could this happen? Well, after all, we're not only human, but God lives inside of us. And when you see us, they see the humanity of God. After all, we aren't just human. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. You've got power within you. Greater power.
Amen.
Amen. And one of the reasons you do is because you have the secret, the revelation, that Jesus is God and there is none other.
Amen.
We're going to see him. We're going to see him with our own eyes one day.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Do you love him this morning? Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Amen. You know, the teaching of Jesus irritated a lot of people because he didn't say, well, I think that,
right.
No, he said, this is the way it is.
Right.
This is my version.
Amen.
There can't be another version than what the Word of God says.
Amen.
And when we take the word that is not diluted or somehow rearranged to fit the lifestyle of people, then God says, yes, I want to be among those people. After all, we're not just human. There's deity living inside of us. Amen. Glory to God. The altar is open. Would you come?